Blog Talk Radio.
Where there is fire, there is smoke. And in that smoke, from this day forward, my people will crouch and conspire and plot and plan for the inevitable day of man's downfall, the day when he finally and self-destructively turns his weapons against his own kind, the day of the writing in the sky, when your cities lie buried under radioactive rubble, when the sea is a dead sea and the land is a wasteland, out of which I will lead my people from their captivity, and we shall build our own cities in which there will be no place for humans except to serve our ends. And we shall found our own armies, our own religion, our own dynasty. And that day is upon you now!
Faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive, able to leap tall buildings at a single bound. Look, up in the sky, it's a bird, it's a plane!
No, it's Max, Darrow, and D-Bert, your host for the Comic Shop Show.
And that day is upon you now. That day is the Grindhouse, folks. This is your host, D-Bert, a.k.a. the Afro Nerd. And that was the great, late Roddy McDowell. Doesn't get any better than him. The call-in number, once again, for the Grindhouse. First up, of course, is the Comic Shop. Second is Afro Nerd featuring Captain Kirk. The call-in number, 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. Of course, I see that the great Daryl B. is in attendance, as well as the great Captain. So we're going to do what we have to do. I have to shout out the passing of Marsha Wallace, who is the voice of Edna Crabapple. She has left the building. She was also known for being Carol Kester in the Bob Newhart show in the 70s. For those folks who will admit that they remember her character, I mean, I remember it, but maybe I'm saying too much. Anyway, folks, she will sorely be missed, and we'll get into it. First up, let's get to a quick nerdcore groove, and then we'll get to the pulp-flavored discourse. This is Nerdcore Now, Core Now by Beefy, and again, let's groove. We'll be right back.
Let me take you back to 05. You, I was so damn young and I spoke my mind. I came out with some tracks, probably making a splash, and then they're making the movie, wanted me in his cast. No time flat, email from a stranger. Looking back, he probably should have come with a disclaimer. He said the day was icy, he was a big fan of me. He can make me talk to a celebrity. Said he's making a comp, it's just the best of the best. I heard some samples and I told him what's feeling the rest. Said no in public, everyone was aghast. And little did I know that even I couldn't rap. It's a movement, it's a genre. Repeat and repeat like a mantra. We're a $5 mic and our basement to all over the world. Rocket man stages with a legend come. If I knew he'd know, never would I guess how much this thing was grown. With the way it started, yo, I don't see how. But that was Nerdcore then, and this is Nerdcore now. And immediately got me some enemies. Steve was a dick and his direction wasn't feeling me. They had a psycho little buddy that would call me all night.
Why are you so fat?
Dude, that wasn't polite. And that's when me and Ryder teamed up, because everyone on the internet was calling her a slut. Just like everyone else, I thought that she was badass. Hindsight 2020, clearly that didn't last. But she was first, hella had it made shit. Before fanatical, anyone remember little Nick? I focused on the board more than anything else. Said I got a little popular, so that didn't help. Damn, but my first gig, we could rock the shark. But really wasn't a 10 minutes later, he helped me blow hard. He was mean and Ryder, she was a lush. So finally I said, alright man, I had enough. Working more and more and more gigs, more tracks, more hype, more war, and more kids in my inbox asking me for rap. Itty bitty little thing to sign no contract.
All right, enough of that. Again, beefy nerdcore now. Folks, this is the Comic Shop, the first hour of the Grindhouse. First up, we have the Captain. Captain, you're needed in the holodeck. Let's get to it. Captain Kirk.
I'm so not a tomorrow person.
We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it. And, of course, I believe Daryl B. is needed in the ready room. Daryl.
You know what? I'll put away my trademark anger to just say, Marshall Wallace, thanks for the memories. You know, being a hardcore Simpsons fan, you know, and I wasn't that big into Newhart, and I remembered her from ALF, you know, but she made me laugh quite a lot over the years. So thank you, ma'am. Thank you. You will be missed.
You know, what's messed up, Daryl, is that, you know, some of these folks, you know, you literally grew up with them, and they're so much of a fabric of, especially with her. Marshall Wallace was so much a fabric of 70s and 80s television that she almost forgot that she was there, but she was always there. And you forget that, you know, behind the scenes, she was still relevant, still doing it. And only, you know, in my mind, 70, considering how long she's been around, 70's relatively young. She died of complications from cancer. She beat breast cancer years ago. So I think this is another form of cancer that unfortunately she succumbed to. But, again, Marsha Wallace, definitely part of my childhood. So we'll see what happens to her character, because there was talk about they're killing off her character from The Simpsons, a character. Could this be her character? I don't know. I didn't think they were going to do that. This would be Ned Flanders' second wife would die. Would they go there?
And it would, you know what, I hope not, because it would be kind of cruel. I mean, not even cruel. It would just be bad, very, very bad timing, you know? And I can't imagine Bart being in class without Mrs. Krivopol being the teacher. You know, that's a shakeup for me. I gotta say, that's a kind of retcon or change that, you know, that I can't even make a bad joke here about it. That's how much she's meant to me, you know, and I'm telling folks the truth about that. Anybody that knows me knows how big a Simpsons fan I am, and this is a big loss to me. This is a very big loss.
I should have known the correct pronunciation, Edna Krivopol. That's right. I forgot about that. Crabapple. Krivopol. Thanks for that, Daryl.
No problem.
For the 20-plus years that this thing's been around, I should have known Edna Krivopol. All right, folks, let's just get into it again. A lot to discuss. Two trailers. I should say a trailer and a half. We had a full trailer for Captain America, the Winter Soldier, and then they showed us, I think, 10 seconds of X-Men Future Past. Let's go to the Captain on this one, Daryl. I'm intrigued. I was so excited. Now, I pay close attention to what the Captain says. He's one of the rare individuals that has me turn around my thoughts oftentimes. The Oracle, perhaps Mr. Starks, he'll get that due, and also Captain Kirk, but there's very few people that have me turn around my thoughts, or I consider what they say very closely. So when I was so excited to see this trailer for The Winter Soldier, I said, okay, they did it right. I was on this, and I emailed everyone. But of course, the Captain was, meh. Explain yourself, sir. What is not to like about that trailer? I'm intrigued.
Well, you have to understand something at this given point. Now, let's talk about Captain America. Captain America is a character that makes sense. He's no Batman, but he makes sense. Very patriotic, makes sense. We're not talking about, like, these DC characters, Superman, that do not make sense, even though it's a big property and everything else. Don't make sense, as far as I'm concerned. But anyway, that's a whole other thing. Captain America makes sense. It's a decent character. He's decent. But you also have to understand where we are with these movies at this given point. We're not in 2001. we're in 2013, getting ready to turn the corner to go into 2014. We've seen a lot. We've seen the step up. We're constantly on a staircase going up. That being said, you look at the trailer. It's all right at this given point. It's still early. That's all it was. It was all right. It wasn't something incredible. It wasn't a lot going on. It's Captain America. We know the story with Captain America. We know what it's about. There's nothing to rip up. It's not like it's garbage or anything. No, no, no. It looks legitimate. It looks strong. But it's nothing. I didn't see anything there for me really to get excited about. Let's not even talk about the X-Men. X-Men thing, that was just a spit. I blinked my eyes, it was over. There isn't anything going on. So let's forget about that. Spit. You don't know what's going on. I'm like, ugh. Well, it's done. I don't know what that was. But Captain America's all right. It's okay. Let's see what happens as we go on down, go further into 2014, see what else they give us as they switch it up and everything else as we get closer to the drop date. Looks all right. Looks solid. Looks solid. But remember where we are now in the movie aspect, the theatrical release of these heroes and supervillains. That's all. Back over to you, Seraph on Earth.
Well, I can't deconstruct what you said. I can't do that. I will say that being familiar with Ed Brubaker's work to the audience, Ed Brubaker is the writer of Captain America, at least for the last couple of years, Captain America and the Winter Soldier. I think it was a one-shot? What was that, Darryl? Was it like one or two issues of
Winter Soldier? It lasted more than a year. It went about 17 issues. He did.
They brought it back, though. Like the initial one was like a couple of issues, and they brought it back. Correct?
Well, no. He went 14 issues, I believe, with Winter Soldier as the writer, and then they canceled it with 17 when he was off the book. So
I understand that. I'm saying before that there was a part
one
where.
Shot.
Yeah, okay.
Yes,
that I remember where he met Namor at a cemetery. That was the one shot, right? Okay.
Yep.
All right. I forgot. Yeah, Winter Soldier was an ongoing series, but I thought that the look of it was the embodiment of that series. So go into a little bit more, Darryl.
Well, about the trailer, they did two things right that I didn't think they would do, all right? One, they kept Winter Soldier's face covered, all right? Matter of fact, they don't even have him mentioned by name. It's just great if you're a fan of the comic. Like, you see the action scenes and stuff like that, like, oh, this is good, you know, to get you hyped. Two, they gave us a quick peek of the Falcon apparatus. And, you know, I didn't think they would do that. I part of me goes, you know what? I hope they save it. And another part of me goes, you know what? It shows that they're confident that Anthony Mackie and this apparatus is going to get over big by showing it in the trailer. You know, it's one of those, and you could fall on either side of that issue. Like, you're spoiling it for me or oh man, that looks cool. And they're erring on the side of that looks cool, which gives me kind of hope for his character being playing a bigger role coming up. As far as the action and everything, I'm still trying to wrap my head around the elevator scene because, again, not to give too much away, the physics of that should not work, especially when you're carrying a big, huge shield. The physics of that elevator scene should not work. I want to see how they film that. But again, it's a great tease. It's a great official trailer and all of that. As far as the X-Men one goes, you know what? They had a better trailer with the Trask website commercial. It's too early. You got to give me something more. Back to you, Afrinert.
Yeah. I was. Sure.
Sorry, one last thing.
All right.
Bringing up Brubaker and F-Team got a new comic out called Velvet. If you liked his work in Winter Soldier and you liked his work in Captain America, I highly recommend you pick up this spy book, Velvet, from Image Comics. Back to you, Afrinert.
Yeah, I remember seeing that. I think that was in Comixology, in my Comixology app. I glanced over Velvet. I don't think I picked it up. I had thought about picking it up. I really meant to pick it up. I'm glad you reminded me on that. Just quickly, I just thought that the trailer was somewhat impressive. Actually, I got a little bit more excited about that than the Thor trailer. But although Thor is going to be very good, I perceive. I think it will be very good. But I think, listen, the first iterations of these movies were fine. They were okay to set up everything. But now they've got to be able to really do it as standalone films. They've really got to be good. And from what I've seen with following what Daryl and what the captain have talked about, I thought that it looks pretty good. I mean, it's very engaging from what I've seen. And being very much a fan of Brubaker's work on Captain America, and especially that Winter Soldier deal, and the fact that they brought, we forget that Bucky, a.k.a. the Winter Soldier, is very much analogous to Robin and Batman. That's essentially what they are. So to bring back Bucky, we saw Bucky die in the first Captain America, allegedly. We thought we saw him die. So that whole explanation, his retarded aging, they've got to explain all that. But to see that his arm that's supposed to be robotic, how he caught that, how he caught his shield, throws the shield. The little nuances, I thought they had it. And Falcon was badass, and that's the ultimate Falcon. Part of me would want to see the Earth 616 Falcon, but logistically that might not work. It might look a little goofy. They would have had to do something with that costume anyway. So in a way, to make him kind of a badass, it brings some heft to a character. I've never really been a big fan of Slap Sam Wilson. You know, not enough going on there. I mean, I like the idea, obviously, of there being an African-American hero, but they have a tendency to not give us enough meat when it comes to black characterizations. But from what I see in the trailer, he looks like a badass, and Anthony Mackie is a real actor. So this should work. A lot of real people in there. You have Robert Redford in this, for Christ's sake. So, you know,
you mentioning that, you remember 7 years ago where people were outraged that they were bringing Bucky back and he was supposed to stay dead? You got to love the stuff. And now Winter Soldier is like, you can't imagine Captain America without Bucky Barnes in some form, the adult one, not the kid. But it just goes to show you, if it's not a money grab, if it's a plan behind it, and you well ride it, then outrage is a temporary thing.
Yeah, well, comic books have, you know, being raised on comic books, you and I, we're supposed to be able to deal with the implausible, as long as it's plausible. The implausible is always plausible in comic books, as long as you have a good story. It's always about the story. I thought the story with the Winter Soldier was a great one, how he came back. The way that Jason Todd came back was a bit murky. It was a bit murky. So Marvel for the win again. I just hope I'm excited. That's all I got to say. I'm excited. All right, let's move along briefly. We're hearing something that I think you and I, all of us, have discussed before, that they kind of sort of have to do if they want this Fantastic Four reboot to work, this version of it. Now, I guess it's already been established that Michael B. Jordan, Fruitvale Station's Michael B. Jordan, that he has gotten the role for the Human Torch. So we are expecting a black Human Torch. If that's the case, that character has a sister. His sister would have to be someone of color, one would think. So now we're hearing, there's been murmurs that the actress from Orange is the New Black, Samira Wiley, is being talked about. What does this do, Darryl? You know, I'm not sure how I feel about it.
Well, I will just say this. Everybody that got pissed at it on Comic Book Movie, everybody that got pissed at it on Latino Review, you guys must not have picked up Fantastic Four 13 this week or last week. And people are like, Fantastic Four 13, what does that have to do with it? Quick synopsis. In the Fraction, you know, soon to be written by Kessel, Fantastic Four book, they're lost in space-time. They're traveling looking for a cure. And they run across a grown-up version of the Human Torch that's been running around the FF book for a while. So they got around to showing a bit of his origin this week, or in 13. And it turns out he comes from a universe where Sue Storm is black, and so is Ben Grimm. Okay, it's a different Fantastic Four, granted, but it's one with a heavy ethnic base.
Wait. Back up. Is this Fantastic Four or FF?
Fantastic Four. Fantastic Four 13, this was the, or last week's, this month's Fantastic Four. They showed the origin, of course, drawn by Bagley, written by Fraction and Kessel, and they showed the origin of that adult Human Torch that's been floating around both the Fantastic Four and FF books since the Marvel Now initiative began. And he comes from a universe where, I'm saying it again, I'm not stuttering, where Ben Grimm and Sue Storm are black. And listen, I read through the book. I thought it was a mistake in coloring.
Okay, wait a minute. Is the older Johnny Storm? This is the one with one eye, correct?
Yes.
Okay, is he related to this Sue Storm?
Don't know, but I'm just saying. That vision was on the paper. It was on, similar to the island of black Kryptonians. It's on paper. It's there. It's in the record. You could go back, read it. You could go see the scene. There is no outrage.
I see what
None.
You're saying now.
no outrage whatsoever about it. I read
no,
through.
No. There's plenty of outrage. There's plenty of outrage. These white fanboys are still not going to go. They're going to be dismissive of that, and they're dismissing it right now. Captain, what are your thoughts on this?
I see where Darryl is going, because it's written in comic book lore, so it's nothing to take it from that and put it on the screen. You see, it's actually it has a foundation in what we would call the real world, the real comic book world. That's what I think. That's where you're going. Is that correct, Darryl?
Thank you, Captain. Thank you.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying. It's down there. Everybody that gets outraged, then guess what? There was already a version of Fantastic Four with the regular characters. All right, you may disagree with the Jessica Alba, but she was playing a white woman. All right, I see this. And it's like we had the argument before involving the Black Human Torch. I'm like this, okay? Until we get our own characters out there, this is no different than on stage, on Broadway, doing the change-up. My thing is, some of the reactions, I thought comic book fans are supposed to be more open-minded. Thank you, Captain. Thank you. You already know where I was going with that one, you know? We're supposed to think outside the box. We're supposed to think the impossible is always possible in some form or fashion.
No. And I'll tell you why. Two words, B. Ben Affleck.
Matter of fact, Daredevil was on today. Daredevil was on today. He was on today.
Yes. So Ben Affleck, keep it 100. My issue with this, Daryl, is, you know, listen, I go back and forth with PC casting, and we spoke about this even last week with the New York Comic Con, when we, you know, this whole deal with black people somewhat superimposing or imprinting themselves through white characterization, that there is something with it. I've done it. I know you've done it. It's a weird thing. But as much as I admire Batman, I have to imprint myself on Nighthawk. I just have to, or Black Panther. It just feels more appropriate. So this is what I, and we're going to go to a quick groove. What I really think is this, let's stop it with Marvel giving us crumbs off the table. This could have been alleviated 10 years ago, because when I first heard of a thing called the Ultimate Universe, I said, okay, this is the 21st century. There's no way they're going to get around with addressing multiracial casting. This isn't 1962 and 63. It just wasn't. And they still pulled that crap anyway. It was very mild with what they did as far as giving us a truly immersive world. I can understand the old intellectual properties, because they're pretty much set in stone. But if you're going to do an ultimate version, they should have really, really ratcheted it up a little bit, and they didn't do it. I mean, we got a black Spider-Man, an Afro-Latino Spider-Man, which is a great book. But look what it took to get that there. They still went with the conventional Peter Parker, except they made him younger. But anytime they do anything, it's like, okay, we'll make an expansive change. We'll make everybody young and white as opposed to older and white. That's not change. Change means if you're going to make an ultimate comic book line in the 21st century, it should have been completely immersive. Matter of fact, I'm getting more turned on by the idea of a multiracial Fantastic Four. But would have been Fantastic Four, you know what the Fantastic Four should look like? It should have liked Bill de Blasio's family. That would have been Fantastic Four. Okay?
Hey.
But they should have done that. Listen, we're going to look what's happening in our culture. We're seeing it in our culture even as we speak, and yet the folks at Marvel and DC still want to pretend like it's 1950. I'm sorry, it's not. And if they were going to do an ultimate, they did an ultimate FF. That's the horror show. They did an ultimate FF. Did they have? I think we got a black Alicia Masters, right? In that.
What, in the movie? Yes. In Ultimate Fantastic Four, on the comic, she was black. Yeah.
You see what I mean? Why is it that, see, what happens is, you applaud the movies, but the movies do it in a way in hitting you over the head with a sledgehammer. If they would soften the blow, if they have it, like you said, if they have it truly in print first, then the geeks can get around it. The geeks were able to get around a black Nick Fury because it's part of doctrine now.
But for a long time.
For a long time now. Now we're used to it.
Well,
just to make the change abruptly. Come on.
But two things real quick. One, check out Fantastic Four 13 this week. That's what I'm saying.
Well,
check it out. Just thumb through it. Check it out. And two, if you want to see a mixed-race Fantastic Four, check out Dynamo 5. It's in trade form by Jay Faber of Noble Causes, of X-Force, of thing. He did that series for Image. It's got five trades. It's essentially a mixed race Fantastic Four almost in the vein of the old TV cartoon Bionic Six. Check it out. That's all I'm saying. Check it out, and you'll see that a mixed race dynamic can work for the Fantastic Four. The problem is a lot of comic book fans are stuck in 1960, and not the good 1960.
And also Secret Saturdays. That might be returning.
Secret Saturdays.
We saw that in a recent Ben 10. So in a recent Ben 10, they brought them back. Secret Saturdays was canceled, and now they brought them back into the Ben 10 world. So that might might be a way
even
of them coming back to that door.
Cyborg 009, too. All folks that get hung up on this, why are you, it's not even a question about us. Look at yourself. Why are you getting hung up on it? Ask yourself that question in the mirror. Afro-nerd?
Well, why am I getting hung up on it?
No. I'm just saying the folks that you read some of the comments after that on that page. You read some of those comments. Why are you getting so hung up on it? It's time to look at yourselves in the mirror.
You know what?
You're all free thinking and all of that, but God forbid there's a Black Susan Storm. Oh, why are you getting hung up?
It's a freaky thing, Darryl. I mean, listen, we haven't gotten that real Fantastic Four yet. That's the issue also. We never really got a good one. Get the one that we're used to seeing, make a good one, and then, you know, years later or whatever it takes, then you can be open to interpretation. But we didn't get a good one yet. And already they're making these changes, and we never got the Fantastic Four as the original Fantastic Four was never done right. That's another issue also. Let's go to a quick groove. When we get back, more discourse, folks, more pulp discourse. This is Adam Warrock, Pokemon XY. We'll be back in a few moments.
Hey yo, walk the victory road, toss a great ball. Meet a trainer, I guess I haven't faced yo. Show me yours, show you mine. Mine, I'm up, watch them fight. I bet mine win. Nothing more to say, yo. Me and my Fennekin defeated your side duck. You and your chest pin, your hand on my scatterbug. Fight with Pokey, he evolved into a Frogadier. Together you and I fight against Team Flare, yo. One of the tall grass of Kalosol, the Pokedex. And build a team up, they're telling me that I'm the best. Serena's challenging, Tiana's dancing. Trev got his nose in a book, Sean is examining. We find the mega evolution like Sycamore said. I'm stocking up on potions, fighting whenever I can. From Village City to the glittering caves, I plan to be the best that ever trained. You know what I'm saying?
You know how we do it here at Afro Radio, a.k.a. the Comic Shop, a.k.a. the Grindhouse. Of course, at 7 p.m. we have Afro Radio, and we play the best of herb alt, black rock, afro punk, progressive hip-hop, jazz, you name it. And here at the Comic Shop, we play the very best of nerdcore muzak, a game that was Adam Warrock, Pokemon XY. Getting back into the fold, feel free to give us a buzz, folks. The water is warm. Don't be scared. The number is 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. Moving things along, gentlemen, I want to talk about, I guess, a twofer. One, We must talk about S.H.I.E.L.D., Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., fifth show, not looking too great for S.H.I.E.L.D. The ratings are tumbling with the key demographic, which means the folks that are responsible for buying crap, they're not looking at this thing. We got to talk about that. And also, Stan Lee kind of, sort of, has been campaigning very mildly as, hey, why not have me in as do a cameo in Batman versus Superman? And I already know how to do it. I already know what he needs to do. I already have his lines written, gentlemen. I already know what he has to do. He's in an elevator or he's passing by the Daily Planet's office or an office where Clark Kent is in. He says, Mr. Parker, no. Different building. That's it.
That would be too cool for them to actually think of. You know, yeah. That'd be too cool to actually think of. But anyway.
Excuse me, Mr. Parker. Wrong building. That's down the block.
That's nice.
That's it.
That was good.
That's it. I breathe this stuff. I know how to write the. They need to hire all three of us. Give us, $750,000 a year.
Oh, dear God.
Set us up in our own office. Imagine what we could come up with. Money's a great motivator. Imagine with our vast knowledge, our mutant abilities, and nerddom. Understand? Anyway, Daryl, your thoughts? S.H.I.E.L.D. is slipping. We probably will get the full year. Will it get a second year? I don't think so.
Well, okay. It's interesting you brought that up, okay, because in the blog I wrote, I had to kill S.H.I.E.L.D. for this past week.
What?
All right. I said I'm giving it the year. I'm giving it the year. But I will say this. As whitewashed as Tomorrow People is, as sarcastic as Once Upon a Time in Wonderland is, they don't demean their fan base. This last episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I took as a slap to the face. Yes, I just self-edited myself. Folks, this past Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. involved a Japanese man with actual superpowers. And the running joke in this, and it's going to be in the blog. I already got it up on Facebook. It's going to be – I already sent it over to Afro Nerd. He'll probably put it up for next week. The running joke is the kid's feeling powerful. He's with other guys. So he names himself Scorch. Right? And he gets hated on by both the villains and the heroes. Gets hated on for naming himself. We are all fantasy geeks. We are all fantasy nerds. We are all fantasy enthusiasts. Which one among you out there has dreamt of having power and naming yourself?
He didn't name himself, though, Daryl. Hold on. He didn't name himself. The villainous named him that.
No, he named himself. Look back at the episode. He named himself. I'm going to be Scorch. He names himself. He did. And then she goes into the back room with the other one and like, oh, he named himself that? Really? And then later with Coulson and Melinda May, oh, God, he gave himself a name. Excuse you. Who's your fan base?
I look at it at game, but I could have sworn that she was instrumental. And actually, one quick thing. That actress, who was fine, by the way,
she did look good.
I looked at her. I said, I know there's no over somewhere. She was a girlfriend in Misfits that ends up getting killed. You remember that?
Yes.
Daryl?
Yes. Yep.
The black character I forgot his name, but he ended up dying also. And that returned also last week, by the way, Misfits season 5.
Go ahead, Daryl. It's out there floating around, folks. It's out there floating around.
It was a rough episode too.
Oh, yes, it was. But
God.
And we bring that up. Look at what Misfits is doing. We've told you guys about Misfits for like 2 years now, okay? Nothing is forced in Misfits, all right? They don't talk down to you. They don't treat the superpowers like it's a burden. Like, oh, ESP is non-existent. That was on the S.H.I.E.L.D. show 2 weeks ago. Excuse me. We just had an alien war in New York City. You've seen gods fly. You've had a super soldier from the 40s come back. You have a guy flying around in a suit of armor, several guys flying around in suits of armor. You just averted a cataclysm, inside marketing there, cataclysm with people blowing themselves up with the extremists. You're fighting a group called Centipede that's actually trying, with a centipede on their arm, to hone the extremists to control it. You fought Jason August Richards in the first episode with super strength, whose skin was actually glowing. Is it so hard to understand that ESP might be a possibility right now? You know?
I know that Q-Storm brought that to my attention. He said on an email he was as angry as you are about that. The only thing I had to say about that is that, to be fair, if you talk about ESP and that kind of thing, or telekinesis, that's kind of in the mutant world, kind of, sort of. And we know full and well that that the Wheatonverse cannot be allowed to use any kind of mutant connection. Fox has that as intellectual property. We can't be mutants in the Avengers. We can't be mutants in the Avengers world. That's it.
Okay, but... You know how ironic that is? Because the current iteration of the X-Men that people like got started with Morrison and Josh Whedon. That's the X-Men that they're trying to use right now for these damn things. That style, that thing, got started with Whedon and Morrison. That's where you guys got that. But I digress. It's knocking me off, okay? Comic book fan, I don't know. I think Captain could put this into better words, okay? I was patient, all right? But you keep on telling me I can't have tights, I can't have powers, I can't have that. And then every commercial break, I see Once Upon a Time and the Wonderland commercials where they're using nothing but powers. Where they're dressed up in dark. Disney, you can't tell me. Listen, stop slapping us nerds and fantasy enthusiasts in the face. All right? If I wanted that, I would watch Big Bang Theory in nonstop rotation to be made fun of and looked down upon and to be gawked at and slandered. All right? I'll just say that. Not the last couple of seasons. Last couple of seasons have been good, but the early seasons, oh, my God, I could shoot that show. All right? I'm getting to that point with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., all right? It's. Let's put it this way. You guys brought up Blacklist, okay? And I will give Blacklist high props for this. Not once does that show talk down to the audience. It knows what it's borrowing from, all right? It knows what it looks like, but it also knows the direction it's going. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. right now, you're trying to be, oh, we're a comic book show, but we're too hip to be a comic book show, if you catch that. We don't want powers. We don't want... I lamented that I lost Alphas. That's what this show made me do. Alphas was like the perfect combination of X-Men and S.H.I.E.L.D. Give me back Alphas. Put Alphas back in this slot. Take Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. off the air. And I was the heavy supporter of this. But you know what? You smacked me in the face with this last episode. Again, go ahead, take a look. But I took personal offense to this. Q-Storm, you were right. I was wrong. They got 12 episodes now to rectify this. But I am pissed off. Captain Four is yours.
Listen, as I said before, you know, it seems like the people have spoken. They've pressed their register button. They don't want Scooby-Doo in that time slot, because that's really what it is. They don't want Super Friends Saturday morning cartoon. They need something a bit more abrasive. That's ultimately what it seems like it is, you know? Because the shows that are a bit more abrasive, they don't have the numbers problems. That's all I'm saying. Remember what we said before? It was Apple Milk Toast, you know? A bit milk toasty and everything. That's really what it is. Maybe the people just don't want that. They need something a bit more abrasive, a little more sandpaper in the episodes and in the writing. That's all. That's all. I dug into it since day one, so I'm leaving it alone. You know, let Daryl, you know, feast. Let Afro Nerd feast on the shield for a while. Go ahead, take the floor, Afro Nerd. The floor is yours.
Yeah, you know what? Where did you get that Scooby-Doo analogy? Because when you told me, when you used the Scooby-Doo reference to me behind the scenes, I actually Googled it. And there's a meme about the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. being likened to Scooby-Doo. They're in, and I started to see they're in the van together.
You see?
You know?
You see?
Did you just come up with that?
It was after the third episode. I said, this reminds me of Scooby-Doo. And I guess everybody else got the same thing. I didn't blog about it or anything else. I'm pretty sure someone did beat me to the punch, but, you know, that's what you get. It's either Super Friends, you know, with the Wonder Twins, that version, or Scooby-Doo.
Well, no, it's Wendy and Marvin, not the Wonder Twins. It's Wendy and Marvin. All they need is a dog.
Okay.
All they need is a pet dog.
Yeah. Okay.
But
Wendy and Marvin.
I'll tell you this. Go ahead. I got a story from Comic-Con to relate to you guys about this.
All right. The reason why I brought this, as I mentioned, the captain is inimitable wisdom. This is dated October 17th. Now, this is you coming up with your own thing here, and this is from a website, Grantland.com, and it's entitled The Check-In. The Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. are still stuck Scooby-Dooing around the Marvel Universe. And there's a couple of other blogs that have made this Scooby-Doo Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. connection. They're already clowning this thing. I just want to say briefly, you know, I'm going to be on repeat on this because I thought I was never crazy about S.H.I.E.L.D. initially. I had to kind of go back into the 60s, into what's his name?
Man from U.N.C.L.E.?
No, I'm talking about the great comic book creator, artist, Starenko.
Oh, Starenko.
Starenko, that Starenko period of S.H.I.E.L.D. I went back into that. And I think I have S.H.I.E.L.D. number one. I think I actually got around to getting S.H.I.E.L.D. number one from the 60s. Anyway, those are exciting. And that was during the period of the whole espionage thing. The espionage genre was on steroids in the really the entire 60s, between James Bond and Man from U.N.C.L.E. and Get Smart and In Like Flint. In Like Flint. There was so much going on there. You could throw in Bill Cosby's show during the 60s. I Spy. I mean, we were on top of that. I mean, that was the Cold War period, so that makes sense. But there's a library on how to do this right. So what made S.H.I.E.L.D. more appealing to me when I really thought it out, and I said it before, S.H.I.E.L.D. was supposed to have been a big-budget movie. When you see how S.H.I.E.L.D. operates in Captain America, because Captain America, the modern interpretation of Captain America, post-World War II, because essentially, when he came out in, 41? When he came out in 41, that was at the height of World War II. He was a jingoistic character. He made sense. Once the war is over, he doesn't quite make that much sense. But if you thaw him out, if you thaw out the character, connect him to the spies, Black Widow. The way S.H.I.E.L.D. operates in that trailer, that's S.H.I.E.L.D. S.H.I.E.L.D. is really the CIA on steroids. Putting them in a confined TV space, it just sucks. They should have made this where Daredevil is involved, where Iron Fist is involved, where Luke Cage is involved. They've all these ancillary superheroes that we know of. That would have been an excellent jump-off point for other movies. They could have used S.H.I.E.L.D. as a hub on screen, on the big screen, as a hub for all these ancillary characters, Doctor Strange, whatever. But to put it on TV with these make-believe villains and heroes, I mean, you know, heroes that we're not, it's all make-believe, but these heroes that we don't know, we're unfamiliar with, it's stupid. It is Scooby-Doo.
Scrappy.
Well, Josh took the money on this one. He took the money, and the fact that you really can't have Thor and Sam. He does a little walk on, but you know it's going to be, you know, you can't have these guys just kind of walk on or walk through. It really makes this world a smaller one, putting it on screen when S.H.I.E.L.D. is a huge operation. Huge. Go ahead, Daryl.
Well, on day one of the Comic-Con, I interviewed an 11-year-old girl from Australia who was visiting Comic-Con, and I posed her the same questions, and I got around to the S.H.I.E.L.D. question, and she went, oh, I like it, but I don't like it. And I went, like, why? And she goes, they're not showing heroes. And pretty soon, they're going to be dissing. She used the word diss. They're going to be dissing us nerds. I was like, really? Like, yeah, just wait. There's going to be an episode where it's going to be something that we all loved like a kid, and they're going to spit in our face and diss us right to our faces. And sure enough, Angie, wherever you are, thank you, because you predicted this. You predicted this straight to my face. People in the crowd were laughing, and I looked at her, and she had this intense look in her eyes like, you know what, I'm disappointed in this, and pretty soon I'm going to feel it. And Angie, you right there with Q-Storm. You saw this train coming. Cap saw this train coming. I didn't get out of the way. Like I said, they got 12 episodes to make up for this, but yo, I feel ashamed. Utterly ashamed that they money grabbed me. Go ahead.
You know something else? Looking at the Blacklist. Listen, the Blacklist is going to be my show now. The Blacklist, and you could even throw 24 on top of this. Those shows that deal with international espionage, that kind of thing, even on TV, on the small screen. Now, they did it in a way where it made it feel larger than life.
Yep.
And now they don't even know what to do with Jack Bauer. Jack Bauer's coming back next year, by the way. So they got to go back to this guy. And I suspect that James Spader's turn on this, James Spader's a phenomenal actor, there's something about the Blacklist that gives it like a larger-than-life appeal. It could be a movie. S.H.I.E.L.D., maybe because of its affiliation with Disney, I'm saying Marvel now, well, yeah, S.H.I.E.L.D. too. S.H.I.E.L.D., Marvel, Disney. As much as I thought the Disney thing was a great idea, now you see that ABC Family, ABC Disney, they're making this into a whole, like, real pablum, gentlemen. And this should have been maybe on HBO, maybe on FX. Maybe we'll see what Powers will do. Maybe Powers will see this to show, to say this is how not to do it. You know, Fox is going to do Gotham. But Gotham is meant to be more in-house. But they have to figure out a way. These ideas of having shows without the main characters, that's a difficult thing. But S.H.I.E.L.D. could have worked if they used ancillary characters, but they don't want to do that because I think that would have been meant for the movie. So they should have done a S.H.I.E.L.D. movie. They should have done if they did a S.H.I.E.L.D. movie and brought in at least a third of the Marvel Universe that we're unfamiliar with, that would have been a film. That would have been a film. And that would have been, guess what, brought in more money. Bring in Luke Cage. Bring in Misty Knight. Come on. These people need to hire us, Daryl. Seriously. It's not rocket science.
I guess our query got answered, whether they were going to treat our love for the spandex and stuff, if they were going to treat it with respect, the answer is no.
You know, you have Matt Murdock, Nelson and Murdock as partners. You see Nelson and Murdock in the Bowery, and then you see Sam Jackson walk through the door and kind of know who Matt Murdock is. That is a movie.
Jennifer Walters.
Yes. Spider-Woman. You bring in Spider-Woman, for Christ's sake. That whole
Jessica
thing.
Drew.
She's a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent. Can they bring her in this world now? I forgot about that. She's a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent. She was S.H.I.E.L.D. She was S.H.I.E.L.D.
But that's a theory that's been making its way around. That's the theory that's been making its way around. You guys haven't heard this? That who Sky is, her real name is going to be Jessica Drew. We are actually seeing the Spider-Woman, the origin on screen. Because remember, when she joined S.H.I.E.L.D., she was looking for her parents. But she used a fake name.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And that's been the theory. I'm like, yeah, but you need to slap us in the face doing it? It would be great if it turns out that way, but you really need to slap us in the face this hard? Disney, what are you doing?
But it's the Disneyfication of Marvel that I didn't, when the buyout first happened, we were a little leery about this. And now we're seeing what's going to end up happening is that they're slowly putting Mickey Mouse ears on these properties. Because if S.H.I.E.L.D. were to be done correctly, it would be a lot more grimy. It would be the Blacklist, for Christ's sake. Make it the Blacklist and be done with it. They won't do it because it's Disney, ABC, happy, joy. Enough.
Oh, don't worry. We're about to get more hardcore. We're getting that limited issue graphic novel set for Space Mountain's origin. Yay.
All right, gentlemen, listen, we got 2 minutes remaining. We didn't talk about Arrow. We didn't talk about Misfits. We didn't talk about the superhero PBS special that was on 2 weeks ago. We still didn't get around to that, really.
And Omega 7. We got to hit that next week, too.
Omega 7. We were called out. At least I was called out about not shouting out more independent comics and independent black comics by extension. So we'll get on top of that. We'll talk about Omega 7 next week. Any thoughts, Captain Darryl, before we get on out of here? Any news?
Oh, quickly. Last thought real quick. Adam Warlock got his new album coming out November 5th. But if you check out YouTube, he's got a song called BSFX. Batman sound effects, complete with a video, with cosplayers, and 60s-type fighting scenes. Check it out.
Yeah,
Batman sound effects.
I glanced at it. All right, we're going next door, Dallas, as always. Next door, folks, next up, after the radio.
Enjoy, all.
See you in a few moments.
Spark with a beard?
I think not.
What are you two doing sitting there? Plotting?
Yeah, we plotting. Plotting to steal.
To steal what?
To steal the information. All of it.
Yeah, but whose information is it? And the more you learn about this system, the more upset you get.
Oh, my dear Mr. Williams. Peppermint? Information is power. If you don't have the information, one cannot seize power. You need to think about becoming mentally competitive. Being black does not free you from being a responsible individual.
Yeah, but being a responsible individual don't free you from being black. Now do it.
That's right. Poor misguided soul. You have yet to learn the rules of this game.
He will. I don't want to. See, I'm smart enough to know it's not my game to play. Just a pawn like everybody else.
Used intelligently, a pawn can create a checkmate, Mr. Williams, or become a very powerful player himself. Don't you understand? This is all a game. All of this. Like basketball, football, Mr. Big Time Track Star, a game. You play it, and you play it to win, because in the real world, no one wants to hear excuses or empty rhetoric. No. They want to know if you have a plan.
Beloved, we are gathered here today to enter this thing called life. Electric word, life, it means forever, and that's a mighty long time. But I'm here to tell you, there's something else.
Hawk, who goes yonder?
It is I, sire, Richard of Nottingham.
Well, speak up, man, what is it?
News from the east, sire. Rick the Ruler has returned.
It's abracadabra, a la baby professor, all hail funkin' lesson, sweet tongue grand writer of scrolls. Now behold, let the legend unfold, born in the cosmos, where no time and space do exist, vibe in the midst of the chaos, mortals label me as a logic.
You're traveling to another radio show, a broadcast not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A journey into a wondrous land whose boundaries are that of the imagination. That's the on-air sign up ahead. Your next stop, Afro Nerd Radio, with your guide, D-Bird, a.k.a. Afro Nerd.
Good evening once again, folks. This is Afro Nerd featuring Captain Kirk, a.k.a. Afro Nerd Radio, batting cleanup. We want to thank once again Daryl B. from the Comic Shop. We'll do a game next Saturday at 6 p.m., but of course it is 7 p.m. And now we're going to get into more serious fare, more serious discourse. Give us a call. Don't be scared. The call-in number is 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. We have a lot to discuss, a lot of shopping while black stories. It seems as if this particular phenomenon just will not go away. There's more stories, more Jay-Z. We got to talk about a GOP, North Carolinian GOP that has lost his job for being very racist. It is what it is. Don't be shocked. Harry Reid had his day. This gentleman has his day. Everyone's racist, except for the captain and myself. Anyway, we do what we do here. We give you the best of black rock, urban alternative, psychedelic soul, giving you the black alternative, folks, alternative speak, alternative culture. This is Robert Glasper, the Robert Glasper Experiment featuring Norah Jones. Let it ride. We'll be back, and again, you know how to do it. Groove.
I never been a gambler. I stay on the
Mrs. Affernerd. And, of course, that was Robert Glasper featuring Nora Jones, Let It Ride. Folks, let's get into it. Captain, you're needed on the holodeck this time. Let's get into it.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no one has gone before.
Sabotage or sabotage.
I got to find that clip of the other Captain Kirk. It's kind of an inside joke there, folks. There's an audio clip, an infamous one, where William Shatner was doing a voiceover or some kind of voice thing for Star Trek, and he was insistent on the pronunciation of sabotage as sabotage. And then upon correction, he said, that's what you say. You say sabotage. I say sabotage. Arrogance. Gotta love it. 646-915-9620. We're on live, folks. This is not Memorex. Captain, we spoke last week about this young man. I believe his name was Trayon, not Trayvon, Trayon, who was arrested or detained briefly because he was thought to have used a fraudulent credit card. And we're getting into the shop and frisk now. You know, we know of stop and frisk. Now it's shop and frisk. And I took a slightly different angle on it, and I think you were somewhat chiming in the same direction, that it's patently wrong what happened to him. But at the same time, when you factor in demographics, when you factor in the other side of the issue with the amount of crime, fraudulent credit card crime being perpetrated by young men and women of color that undoubtedly Barney's experienced, they profiled these people. They profiled them. The issue is they profiled them, one would say, obviously, because they're getting sued, incorrectly. But the profile, the composite was made. There's a litany of cases where you do see fraudulent credit card rings, and they're reacting to it in a rather visceral way. But my contention is, why are we seeing so many black and brown folk involved in that particular scheme, in that particular criminality? So that was one issue. Now it is a young lady, a nursing student, 21 years of age or 22. She purchased a $2,500 bag, and she too went through similar treatment where she was roughed up a little bit. And who are you? How can you afford this? What are you doing here in Manhattan? Rather dubious treatment. And now again, with perhaps Barney's competitor Macy's, after Rob Brown, who I actually like his work. He's in Treme, presently in Treme, but we saw him in Finding Forrester a few years back, and he's been in a number of roles, not minstrel roles. He's an educated young man. He graduated from Amherst a few years ago, Amherst College. Somehow he got hemmed up, and this is a man of means. He's a working actor, 29 years of age, and he was arrested, and he was just trying to buy a gift for his mother. His mother, an advanced age or a mature woman, she graduated from college herself, and in honoring his mother, he had tried to give her a gift, and he was profiled as, you're too young, too black, too of these wares. What's going on? So, Captain, you know what? Actually, I have a clip from someone who is a minstrel most of the time. Most of the time. Charlemagne Da God, D-A. That's a hip-hop way of saying the. Charlamagne Da God at 105.1, the local New York hip-hop station. The Breakfast Club. He has a segment on the show called Donkey of the Day. And he, surprisingly, unexpected viewpoint on this affair. And I was surprised, as we always say, a broken clock tells the time correctly twice a day. I was surprised that he went in on this from a slightly nuanced angle, which is rather unbecoming from minstrel programming. Again, a broken clock tells the correct time twice a day. Let's go to this clip. Charlamagne Tha God from The Breakfast Club 105.1 talking about Barney's and racism. Hold on.
I was born a donkey. It's the donkey of the day.
Look at these donkeys,
That's pretty funny.
Charlamagne the devil?
The Breakfast Club.
Well, I'm pissing people off this morning. Donkey of the Day for Friday, October 25th, goes to everyone who wants Jay-Z to end his deal with Barney's due to Barney's racial profiling of young Trayon Christian and young Kayla Phillips. If you haven't heard, Trayon Christian was detained buying a $350 trial gamo belt, and Kayla Phillips was stopped by police after buying a $2,500 Celine handbag at Barney's. They thought the youngins had fake credit debit cards. Look, Barney's is dead wrong for this racial profiling. Racial profiling on any level is wrong, even though a lot of times I believe that racial profiling stems from the law of probability. If out of 47 arrests that have been made at Barney's for credit card fraud, if 70% of those arrests were young black people, then who do you think Barney's is going to target? You guessed it, young black people. Doesn't make it right, but it is what it is. So Kayla and Trayon paid for the sins of the people who came before them with the fake credit cards and gift cards. You know how big gifting is in the hood, but back to the matter at hand. What is asking Jay-Z to pull his holiday clothing line from Barney's going to do? Is that going to make them stop being racist? Is that going to stop them from stereotyping our people? The answer is no. Most of you asking for a boycott of Barney's don't even shop at Barney's anyway. So what's the point? This is just another case of fake outrage. You're going to tweet out hashtag boycott Barney's when you've never been in Barney's a day in your life. How are you going to boycott a place you probably don't even go anyway? You're calling for Jay-Z to end his deal with Barney's, but you know good and well you don't really care. This is just a new trendy thing to fake care about. Last thing we fake cared about was Florida. Wasn't we supposed to boycott Florida after the George Zimmerman verdict? How quickly we forget. Did anybody ever really boycott Florida, or was that just a trendy thing to tweet at the time?
Now, what's the name, Dave?
Who?
Stevie Wonder.
He don't know where he be at. He blind. Look, if I'm Jay-Z, why am I going to end my deal knowing good and well none of y'all going to care about this issue in a couple of days? This is exactly why Barney's will never issue an apology, because they know all of you calling for Jay-Z to end his deal with Barney's don't really care. In their mind, like every other issue the black community has fake outrage about, this too shall pass. Getting Jay-Z to pull his deal from Barney's does absolutely nothing but make us feel good. It's a temporary high for us, and we'll salute Jay-Z and say that's a real dude. But what is that going to do to end stereotyping? What is that going to do to end shopping while black? Absolutely nothing. Temporary fix to a permanent problem called racial profiling. Simple solution to this problem. If you shop at Barney's on the regular and you're offended by what they've done to these young kids, don't shop there anymore. Simple. If you never shop there, but you're calling for a boycott and asking Jay-Z to pull his deal, shut the F up forever and go find something else to fake care about. Give everybody with fake outrage calling for Jay-Z to end his deal with Barney's the biggest hee-haw.
Now, let's be clear. I have shopped at Barney's quite frequently, and I'm not going to anymore, but that's my personal decision.
Yes.
And I do think that Barney's does need to figure out what they need to do differently about their policies.
Absolutely. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do a Jay-Z mix later on.
Any reason for MB to
do a Jay-Z
mix,
I'm going to do a Jay-Z mix.
He's going to do it.
Yes.
The Breakfast.
All right, folks. And also, by extension, is the Jay-Z is affiliated with Barney's. He has a big connection, a big business deal that I would assume he would like for it to continue or to see the light of day, this upcoming holiday business deal that's undoubtedly worth millions in his pocket. So I'm assuming he's not taking kindly to this controversy. And then now we have actor Rob Brown at Macy's proclaiming the same thing. Now, the interesting thing, and I want the captain to weigh in on this, the interesting thing, if you heard Charlamagne's diatribe, that was somewhat nuanced, which is, again, I'm shocked that the clock is broken for this minstrel. But he said some very important things. He said, big gifting in the hood. You know how we like to big gift in the hood. That's an element in this. Big gifting, the law of probability. He talked about 45. I mentioned that number before also. I think 45 or 50 throughout the year of arrests involving
47.
Fraudulent. I'm sorry?
47%.
Well, yeah. Well, you said fraudulent credit card usage. And if 70% of them happen to be men and women of color, what do you think is going to be the outcome from that? We are paying the price for tribalism. Unfortunately, the way I look at it, and this goes by Rob Brown, and I'm a big supporter of Rob Brown's work. Matter of fact, he was on the cover of today's Daily News, and I said, hey, this guy might be the Black Panther. That's what came to my mind. He might be the Black Panther. That's why he's got acting chops. Be a good role for him. I'm just putting that out there. Anyway, what happened to these young people was patently wrong. I don't want to get around that. My issue is we're going to have to somehow deal with the preponderance of folk that look like us, that commit certain crimes, that partake in minstrelsy, that provide this negative imagery, that just make it, this is backwash. This is what Afro-Nerd Radio is all about. It's warning you that there's a price to pay for some of this. We can talk about racism. We know that racism exists. But racism, the claims of racism become cloudy, ladies and gentlemen. I want folks to deconstruct what I say. I could be wrong. But the instances of racism, not that they're not valid, but they become cloudy when you have this rampant criminality, when you have this imagery that has lasted for a long time now, this imagery that makes black folk the face of crime. I said before, with the woman that wigged out in front of the White House a few weeks ago, and the man that put himself on fire, and the other man that shot up the D.C. Naval Yard, might construe that the face of insanity will be a black face. The face of AIDS is now a black face. Do we remember that the face of AIDS used to be a white gay male face? Now it has segued into being a black female face. So what I'm saying is we need to do some things, some reverse engineering on our imagery. Because the Asian man is a man of color. The Indian man is a man of color. Those two groups can walk into Macy's and Barney's, and I doubt they will get hemmed up because the stereotype is there for them. And the stats will be there for them. But for the black and brown man that walks around, the stats are different for us. So I want us to start to deal with the flip side of the issue. We can't always discuss things where it comfortably always in the right. In other words, we're more comfortable in being right than righteous. The righteous thing to do would be to deal with these other things that compound the racism. When you say nigga and nigger on wax, folks, when you commodify the N-word, which many of us have done, now when legitimate racial cases come up and people are saying this now, we can't even prove a legitimate racial case because they will spit back out at you. Well, nigga isn't really offensive because the hip-hop generation has told us that. It causes confusion. And now this is backwash. Poor Mr. Rob Brown, poor Sir Master Rob Brown, actor thespian Rob Brown, he is paying, and I suspect that myself, maybe even the captain, and the indefatigable Daryl B., we may pay one day in some misunderstanding because of all this tribalistic backwash. That's it. Deconstruct it. 646-915-9620. Captain, what do you think?
Well, your race and sex enters wherever you go. Your race and sex will enter wherever you go. So whatever you do there, wherever you go, that's what enters. People will make a judgment based on your race, your sex, and what you do there. That's the reality of it. I don't make those rules. That's what it is. So in other words, to put it simply, if you're slow, people will say black women act this way, black males act this way when they enter in this type of establishment. This is what people do. But now let's talk about credit cards a little bit. Credit cards are not like money. Now, I've also known some people who have had about 6 credit cards and they're not working at the time, and they just go from one card over to the other, move everything all around, and they're able to keep going, believe it or not. It's a whole different type of circumstances, a whole different type of dynamic with credit cards. Number one, and this is what people don't understand, and some merchants don't understand this. It's not like money. It's something different. The credit card company, they have insurance. The merchants are protected from purchases, false purchases. So were you as the credit card holder. Now, here's the kicker. I want you to listen with this. And this is what a lot of police officers do not know. Merchants do not know this, believe it or not. A lot of card holders do not know this. Although Visa or MasterCard's rules do not preclude merchants from asking for cardholders' ID, merchants cannot make an ID a condition of acceptance. Therefore, merchants cannot refuse to complete a purchase transaction because a cardholder refuses to provide ID. This is Visa and MasterCard. Also, what is required only is for you just to present a signature. This is why I'm pretty sure some of you have went out, you're in a bar somewhere, the bill comes back, you put your driver's license up there automatically. They say, oh, I don't need that. They look at the signature because that's all they really need. But what mom-and-pop stores will do, this is what mom-and-pop stores, of course you understand mom-and-pop, that's smaller than a Macy's. That's a mom-and-pop store. Simple to follow. What mom-and-pop stores will do, because if a fraudulent purchase does happen at their store, they can get hit with a $50 deductible. So the mom-and-pop stores are a little bit worried about that. But most credit card companies don't even enforce that. So in the reality, in the grand scheme of things, there's one other safety measure. And I'm pretty sure some of you, since you're an Afro-nerd listener, you probably have a credit card. So you may have experienced this. You make your regular purchases with your credit card. You go out. Maybe this purchase is $250. It goes through no problem. $450, $500. Let's say $500 is the biggest purchase you normally make. Then one day you go out. You make a purchase for $850. Then you go to the merchant. They swipe the card. The merchant goes, oh, it's a hold. You have to call in now your information. So that's another safety measure that the credit card has. So with all of these factors, Barney's or anybody else, they're really not supposed to be doing any police work on that credit card unless when that credit card goes and it comes up stolen on their machine. We're in a computer age now. It comes up that way. If you swipe that card and it goes through, it has nothing to do with Barney's or anybody else. The credit card company has to deal with it. The person who owns the card, they have to deal with it. That's worked out between them two. Barney's will be reimbursed regardless. That's how the credit card game works. That's the reality of it. So whether they come in there pants sagging or dressed in a suit, whether they're black, whether they're Mexican, whether they're white, whether they're old, whether they're fat, tall, or short, once the signatures match up, it's a green light. Once you put the card through and it comes up good on the machine, the credit card swipes, the machine that you swipe with the credit card reader, it's a green light. It's a go. That's it. That's how it works. That's the reality of it. A lot of people do not know this. In your mind, it makes sense to present your ID, but you're really not supposed to present your ID on a credit card purchase. And a lot of stores you go into, they'll say, well, anything over $100 or over $300 or something like that. Show your credit card. I will share my own experience with you. JCPenney, years ago, we're going back years, probably 25 years ago, one of the easiest credit cards to get. Also, MasterCard and Visa was easy to get if you attended college. If you signed up when you were 18 as a freshman, they gave it to you right there. You were taking college courses, you got that. That was pretty easy, too, an hour a day. Real easy to get also. But JCPenney was very easy to get also. If you had bad credit, they'll give you a credit card for $100. If your credit was a little bit better, $300. If you had it all the way to the max, $1,000. No problem. I went to pay a bill now. Just paying a bill. I was dealing with a white woman. Two white ladies went before me and paid a bill. She did not ask them for any ID. When it was time for me to pay for my bill, the woman, you know what she did? Sir, do you have any ID? I said, hold on. You did not ask these two women for ID. Why are you asking me for ID? She looked befuddled. I pulled her card. She was not supposed to do that. And then everyone else in the store was looking at me going, right on, this guy knows what it is. He knows, that's right. Then she just said, okay, just give me your statement. Gave her the statement and paid my bill. See, credit cards, if you're really looking at the information, how they operate in their own universe, to tell you the truth. It's something entirely different. Once you swipe it and it's a go, you could have stole the card. You may have stole the card. That's not your job to do there as the merchant. If they swipe it and it's a good and it comes up good and the signature matches, there you go. That's not your job anymore. And that's how it works. Back over to you, Sir Raffle Nerd.
All right, we have a caller. Let's go to the call, and then I want to chime in with a – well, actually, I want to play a groove after the call, and then I want to – mention more about Jay-Z's affiliation with this controversy, and also speaking to from our own personal honor guard, Mr. Starks, he reminds me that he's a bit more brutal than I am. He reminds me because I have a tendency to pull it back a little. Folks, it's amazing. I still get critiqued anyway, Captain, and I actually pull back a little bit. I pull back about how I really feel. But in a private conversation, behind the scenes, speaking to Mr. Starks, he went there about this. We went there. I said, geez, why didn't I say that on air? And I said to myself, that's because I still try to be soft with you people. I try to soften the blow, even though it really isn't. You know, I put a silencer on the weapon, so to speak. And Mr. Starks, God bless him, he doesn't have that silencer. He gives you the full blast. So there's more attached to these stories, if we're going to be honest, about what was in my head when I read them. And we'll talk about it. Let's go to the phones first, of course. 404, welcome to AfroNerd. Tell us who you are, where you're calling from.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello.
Yes. You're on. What was that? All right. If that was a mishap, feel free to call back. Hopefully it wasn't playtime. This is serious stuff, folks. The call-in number is 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. If you'd like to call in, so be it. The water is always warm, much. Anyway, more groove and more discourse afterward. This is DJ Heather and the great Reggie Watts. Been watching you. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
some more? Can you give me some more? Can I take some more? I need some more. I want some more. Will you let me have some more?
Okay, we're back, folks. Again, that was the great Reggie Watts. DJ Heather, been watching you, giving the best of urban alternative groove, black rock, afro-punk, psychedelic soul, you name it, we got it. The call-in number once again. We had someone call in, but they ran away. I should have had my Fred Flintstone foot drop. For whatever reason, they ran away. But don't be scared. We will treat you respectfully. 646-915-9620, 646-915-9620. I was mentioning before the break, Captain, that I had a conversation with Mr. Starks, who was your predecessor, and he can be, and sometimes I need to be that way, and I think that I give you the soft blow. I give our audience the soft blow, and I still get critiqued for it, so sometimes I pull back, and it doesn't go over too well. In pulling back, it could be worse or better, depending on how you interpret it. Anyway, Mr. Stark said to me right away, he said, listen, man. He said, listen, man. These two look a little shady. I don't care. He said, I don't care. He said, there's other issues that come up. We could talk about the unfairness of this, but the other issues are, we're looking at two young people who really could not afford what they were buying for the horse. The young man, they have their right, they are within their right to buy these goods. Let's put it that way. That is correct. But there's another thing about, there's another thing that's attached to this that's troubling. You have a 90-year-old student who wants to buy a $350 belt. He's an engineering student. He's not an engineer yet. Let's get the engineer degree. Let's get a position in the engineering firm. Then you can do what you need to do. The young lady that was treated under similar circumstances, she was buying a $2,500 purse and is pregnant with her second child and is a nursing student. Now, on a tax return, the tax return money she used to buy this purse. But you have children. I mean, the world sees you foregoing your kids to get a purse. I mean, that's an attached issue. I know folks would tell you, that's not really what this is about. But it is what it's about. It's about fitting a profile because you're really not supposed to be there. You're not ready yet. If she was a working professional nurse, nurses make 70, 80 grand, even more than that sometimes, then we can see you doing that. An engineer, the sky's the limit. We can see you doing that. But these are students. You're not there yet. You're not there yet. And if you have what the captain spoke about with the last show, if you have kind of a hood cloak, you have a cloak of the hood. You're doing the right thing, but you still have the rough around the edges thing going on. You're still falling under that profile. I know some black folks don't even like the term profile, They don't believe in using a profile. There is a profile. It's just that you can't use exclusionary racial profiling. You just can't be black and then that's the end of it. That is the issue. You just can't be black and that's the end of the profile. So when when folks talk about and now shop and frisk, they will give you the impression that, well, just any black person can fall under these issues. Now, with Mr. Rob Brown, I don't know what his deal is. I said in the last diatribe that because of us not speaking out about the criminality and not really dealing with what that criminality does, we're talking about numerically, statistically, we have become the face of urban crime, and that should not be the case. Wasn't always that way, but for many years it has been. And we need to do some reverse engineering because this is not the way to live. And now what's happening is, as it always has been, this is essentially an existential version of collateral damage, Captain. This is a metaphysical, existential version of collateral damage. What the hell is Afrinur talking about? I've been talking out for many years now on this show that the reluctance of the black and brown community to deal with urban gun violence, the fact that we have babies, truly, unquestionably innocent beings, babies, the elderly, people have nothing to do with this, with these shenanigans. They're the ones like Hedaya Pendleton and Chirac, Chi-Town. No one speaks for them. No one speaks for them. The child in Chicago that was killed many months ago, quite a few months ago now, the child whose parents were a little shaky, his diaper was being changed in the front car seat, and in an effort to get the father, the child gets killed. Matter of fact, the child that was killed in Brooklyn a few months ago, whose father was a gangbanger, he gets killed. That is a form of collateral damage. Now, what happens to Rob Brown and even these two students is a form of collateral damage because of all the other stuff that's going on that Macy's had to deal with. We're not really focusing on those numbers and what that means. Now, an actor of note who's probably making seven figures, he gets caught up. So it's a nuanced issue. I think it's a lot more complicated than just saying this is racism. But it is. But it seems to be racism was a lot more clear in the 60s, in the 70s, maybe even the 80s. Now, with minstrelsy and rampant criminality, these issues are becoming cloudy with records that repeatedly, like Tourette's. The black Tourette's is the nigga word. That is black Tourette's. We can't have a pop culture song without the word being there. So now it has become black Tourette's. No one says anything. No one thinks that we pay a price for this. This is what's happening. And the other thing about this is, as the great captain said, what makes this a racial incident also is these purchases are going through. They're not. It's Macy's and Barney's using the NYPD as their personal goon squad. A block or two, once the person is out of the store, that they go through further humiliation. But at the time of the purchase goes through. That is a problem also. Why are they being harassed once it's over and done with? Now you're speculating that you're speculating, but again, it still goes back to the other side of the issue. Why aren't we dealing with these other black and brown folks that are making it harder through tribalism for the captain, for myself, and for actor Rob Brown? We're not going to talk about it. Anything else on that?
We need 1950s race war mentality. Then you get it right. Then I'll drive the black man back in the home. But that's a whole other story. You understand? That's a whole other story. The multiculturalism and victimization culture has not worked here. So a person such as yourself or myself, we receive shrapnel from the situation.
Yeah.
And we being, I'm speaking French now, we have become the face of crime, totally. That's it. Doesn't matter. Whether it's a credit card purchase, whether it's a violent act or a nonviolent act. That's just what it is.
Yeah, we're not addressing that, Captain. That's the issue. I mean, there's a price that's being paid, and it deals with – it really deals with, I guess we don't want to understand that there is a working sensibility, whether we like it or not. There's a working sensibility of what happens with the collective sense of dealing with all these cases. I mean, in other words, to be more clear, this is what Afriner is about. If you happen to see black or white, right or wrong, if we are inundated with countless photographs, depictions, newspaper periodicals of black criminality, inundated with black criminality, what does that do to the psyche, to the cultural psyche of black and white people, not just white people? What does it do? I mean, we have to address that. Either we have to address for being incorrect, or if there's some truth to it, we're going to have to deal with that, but we don't want to deal with that. We deal with the ramifications, but we're not dealing with what's happening at the core. The core is, why the hell are we seeing many black people? Macy's is dealing with this. Barney's is dealing with this. How come we're seeing this many people committing these acts where it comes off as if it's a black thing? And then through tribalism, because we're all brothers and sisters, we run that into the ground. Well, actually, we run nigga into the ground. We used to be more brotherly and sisterly. The term nigga has superseded brother. In the 60s and 70s, it was very much about brotherhood, and I kind of liked it when you could look at another black person and another woman or male and say, hey, sister, hey, brother. That meant something, that we were in it together. But we're not in it together anymore. Not really. Not the way it should be. We're in it together in criminality. You're going to make us criminals. Catherine, we have to work on some reverse engineering. We just have to. This is a horrible way to live. Now we have seven-figure actors being rousted about, no different than Saquon from the hood. And people will say, well, that's how it has always been. Not necessarily with our influence, though. I think we are contributing to some of this. We are contributing to this in some way. And also, quickly, on Jay-Z, why are you asking for a minstrel to be righteous now? Why do you do that, ladies and gentlemen? He makes big on music. You know, I don't understand this. I mean, this is why you come to this show, because we try to give you an expanded way of looking at things. Let me tell you how this is messed up. Let me tell you how this is messed up. I want the captain to come on in. This is messed up. This is messed up. It's laughable. I'm like David Carroll. You know how David Carroll, we talk about him a lot, the YouTuber. He laughs, yes, after he laughs. He smokes a cigar, and then he laughs after he makes this, as he puts it, a classic. His legendary videos. When he lays it down, he starts to laugh. It is almost comical. It is almost comical how we operate in the black community on some level, some of us. There's a genius in the black community, and we highlight those stories with the anecdote and with the blue area. We probably will have one next week. So we will give you the stories of black excellence. Unfortunately, your minstrel programming won't do what we do. That's the irony also. Plenty of stories. There are young men and women being inducted into Mensa. High cognition, people of color. That is happening. High marks in academia, high marks in business, high marks in entertainment, but we don't see them, or we don't report on them. Afro-Nerd and the captain are reporting this stuff for you. A lot of stuff is going on. Could be a potential business stream, but you would prefer to go through the minstrel end of business. We don't want to do that. Anyway, Jay-Z has a deal with Barney's. The deal is worth millions, and one of the items that he's selling is a $33,000 watch. Now, I don't know if his fan base is going to pay $33,000. I don't know who this watch is for. I thought Jay-Z was from Marcy Project in Brooklyn. Are Marcy Project residents going to be buying $33,000 watches? Unless, of course, they use their credit card. Anyway, see how it goes full circle? You see how it goes full circle? Anyway, there have been tweets. I'm almost on the Charlemagne kick now, because this is going to be fake outrage also. People are tweeting. You got to write letters to people, I think. It's too convenient. It's faux indignation. I think many blacks have lost the fire and the fight in them. I don't think we want to fight anymore. I think we're letting things like this, these slights that are occurring. I don't think we have the energy to combat them. I don't think we have the consciousness to fight these slights anymore. So we just think this is life. We just let it go. We don't have the fight. We don't have the fight or the fire for what's happening internally. And now I don't think we have the fight that was happening to us externally. So Jay-Z is being called upon to extricate himself out of this Barney's deal. And there's an adage, Captain. When a person tells you who he is, believe them. When a person tells you who he is, believe them. Jay-Z has said over and over in lyrics, I'm a hustler. I'm a hustler. I'm a pimp. I'm a pimp. I'm a hustler. We can say that it's music. We can say that it's, you know, but he's writing it down. He's reciting it in word form, in wordplay. He's essentially telling you what he is. He is a hustler. We see that. We believe him. He told you. He's a hustler. Last time I checked, hustlers do not make the greatest of radicals. They're not really politicians. Well, let me rephrase that. Some politicians are hustlers. Let me rephrase that. But as far as someone who's righteous, being a hustler and doing the right thing usually do not go hand in hand. I very rarely have I seen that. So now we're calling on Jay-Z, who to date has not really shown consciousness, to be a conscious black person. Harry Belafonte told you this. Now, Harry Belafonte has told you what he's about, and he's backed it up. Jay-Z told you, my presence is charity. He told you. My presence is charity. When a person tells you who they are, I told you I'm an Afro nerd. Have I given you anything to believe you that I'm telling you that I'm not? We talk about Black Panther, Batman, science, sci-fi, fantasy. We really haven't moved along from that. We play black rock, Afro punk. I've told you I'm an Afro nerd. This is what you get. Jay-Z tells you he's a hustler. His brand is a hustler's brand. So I don't see why the community all of a sudden wants to call upon this gentleman to be the paragon of virtuosity. It's not going to happen. So it is to laugh. You're asking a hustler to be Malcolm X. Malcolm X used to be a hustler. Used to be. His wife told us, when I knew him, He got rid of all that dysfunctionalism, as she put it, I quote. All that dysfunctional stuff he left behind. That's what she said. Jay-Z hasn't left that dysfunctional stuff back behind. He stabbed someone over money. Un Rivera. Look it up. Look it up. Un Rivera stabbed him over putting out his music too early, back when you put out mixtapes on the street. See, now they leak it online. But before we did it the digital way, they're doing it the analog way. Un Rivera allegedly did a leak the analog way, and he was stabbed in the chest for it by Mr. Sean Carter. So you're expecting that man to listen to all these pleas. And the second half of that, Captain, now I want you to weigh on this. You got about 3 minutes. The second half of this equation is, why do we only ask the black person to be righteous in these cases? There are other people that are doing business with Barney's. Why should Jay-Z be the only one? Why should you just ask a black person to do the right thing? If there's such a thing as white people who would be disgusted with doing business with people that practice racism. I saw this with the Genius 6 situation a few years back when President Obama, then Senator Obama, was running. If those who remember the Genius 6 racial incident in Gina, Louisiana, it just wasn't him running. Hillary Clinton was running. I believe Romney was running. There were a number of people on both sides of the aisle that were running at the time the Genius 6 was going on. But folks like Messy Jackson, he called out Obama for not being black. He said something vituperative, something derogatory toward then-Senator Obama, saying he's not black because he didn't say something enough to Genius 6 as he was running. But I found it odd that, wait a minute, if a white person is in office and something like this goes on, don't you call upon the president, irrespective of his color, to weigh in? So now you ask the only black person running about this issue as if, and you let it go or give a pass to the other folks that are running. With the Jay-Z, why are you just focusing on Jay-Z? Jay-Z's business with Barney. What, somebody else? Can't you ask a white person, hey, do you want to do business with racists? See, this is why thinking outside the box. I find it odd. Why are you just talking to Jay-Z? Why not ask other people who are doing business with Barney's, do you want to do business with a racist? If that's what's going on, then you could appeal. Then you'll find out what their character is like also. If Bono is doing business with Barney's, you don't ask him? Because if he gives you the wrong answer, you know what his character is like. Captain, your thoughts?
They're looking for the brother hookup. That's all. That's what that is. That's called the brother hookup from Jay-Z. But Jay-Z is who Jay-Z is. He's doing his thing. He's far removed, and he will continue to do his thing. He doesn't do that. He doesn't do that. So that's just what it is. That's just what it is at the end of the day. That's all.
Yeah, under a minute remaining, Captain, funny how these things move along. Folks will be back on Wednesday for the Midweek in Review show. More discourse, of course. Just a reminder, again, the great actor Harry Belafonte, he told you what this man was about. He thought that Bruce Springsteen had more consciousness, and Jay-Z had took umbrage with him for that. But really, it looks to be a quality statement that Bruce Springsteen has more consciousness as a performer than Jay-Z. And Jay-Z said, well, you know, I'm black. I mean, how could he say that? Well, it is what it is, nigga. That's what he would prefer to be called anyway. It is what it is. Folks, it's been real. We'll see you on Wednesday. Going out on Stevie Wonder, Remix Superstition, Wednesday.
There is superstition. left it.